Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. We thank you for giving us your best,
your only begotten Son. He was worthy. He is worthy to receive honor and glory. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord has granted us another day in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, that you kept us through the night and you brought us into this marvelous day, clothed in our right mind and having the activities of our limbs. We thank you, Father, and we praise you, Father, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Bless the word, O God. We know the word is blessed, but bless it again, that as we release it this morning, O God, that it will go to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and that it will not return void. In Jesus' holy name we pray. This morning, I bless you all that came on the line this morning, And I want to tell you that last night I was having a very hard time. I had to use the heating pad on my chest. My heart was acting up. I was getting out of breath, even just leaning the bed. But I put the heating pad on and it just quieted down the heart, you know, and I prayed and trust the Lord that he'll keep me in the land of the living. And I said to myself, because we got a big thing going on at the church tomorrow. And I was saying, well, I was just going to rest today, get my clothes together, go to the bank, get some money, and come back home. But we heard this message last night on discipleship. And we want to talk about discipleship, you know, because, as you know, you've been going to your church for a long time. You may have being just joined the church or so on, and how many you can say that they had been a course or teaching in the church for several weeks on discipleship. Nobody can raise their hand and say that. They'll teach you this to come. They have Sunday school. They have midweek service and so on. But nobody teach you on discipleship, meaning that they teach you how to go out and minister to other people in the streets, how to carry the word of God, how to be a carrier of the word. You know, you actually teach yourself, you know, by running the Bible and so on. But there ought to be classes in the church teaching on discipleship. And Jesus spent 3.5 years teaching his disciples. And even when he was ready to go, he empowered them that they would be able to fulfill the call that was on their life. He gave them power and authority. Hallelujah. But he taught them what to do and what not to do. Hallelujah. Even at times he had to rebuke them. He had to rebuke some of them that was think they knew better than him. You remember when Peter told him that he shall not die, this should not happen to him, he would not go to the cross. And he had to rebuke Peter because he said, Peter, you are hearing on human terms, you know, not from heaven, not from God. You know, because this time, you know, he knew that he came to go to the cross. He knew this is his job. This is his assignment. But here, we want to talk a little bit about discipleship, you know. Disciples, first thing, number one thing is disciples have to learn how to follow. Because a lot of times when you're being taught, you know, sometimes you hear some things that you're not in agreement with. Sometimes they are words that you hear that grieve your spirit. A lot of times we don't want people to tell us what to do. That's the main thing. We don't want nobody to tell us what to do. We want to believe that we know it all, we can do it all, and we just got to the church, but you know better than the pastor. You know better than the apostle. You know better than the bishop. You know better than the deacon. You know better than the usher. You just got there. You're going to tell them how to do things. You know everything. I mean, it's true. Sometimes the pastor don't know some things, and the Lord will show you when you just got to the church, or he will show you some things. So when you get to the church, you assist the pastor, show the pastor. But don't go in there like you want to take over. You want to take over the stuff. You want to take over leadership. No, that's not your position. Your position is to come to the church and follow. Listen to what the pastors are saying. If it lines up with the word of God, then you follow. If it doesn't, you leave it alone. I always say, if it's for me, I take it. If it's not for me, I leave it alone. I don't worry myself about it. Just take what's for you and leave the rest alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here in this book, we want to go into Luke chapter 14. Let's go. We're talking about discipleship. Jesus is doing a lot of stuff. He is doing a lot of stuff in this chapter. You know, parables are going forth, and he is just speaking with power and with authority. But, you know, there are always going to be some that are going to find some errors in everything that you say and everything that you do. But here in this book here, very powerful book, Luke chapter 14, and Jesus is training his disciples. I want you to understand this. He's training his disciples. All this stuff, the disciples are seeing stuff that is happening, but they don't understand yet. Let's start at verse 25. He says, and there went great multitudes with him, Jesus. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own wife also, he cannot be my disciples. Jesus begins to lay this foundation. In order to become a disciple, you have to be willing to let go of everything and let God. And that's the hardest, that is the hardest thing for most of us or all of us to do when it comes to leadership or you come into leadership. You don't want to follow. Automatically, you believe that you are a leader. You believe you're a leader because you're in leadership, and you want to tell the principal, the one who knows all or know most of it, of what's supposed to be going down. you want to tell them what to do because you saw a little bit of stuff on the internet. You've Googled some stuff. You went on Instagram. You heard some stuff. You went on Periscope. You saw some stuff. Now you want to come in and do it. You don't really even understand what you saw on the internet or here on Periscope or Instagram, but you want to come and tell the pastor that's been preaching for 40, 50 years how to do things. Jesus says you got to deny everything. Imagine that you got to, when he said this, even your own life also. Even your own life also. He cannot be my disciple. There's things in the world that you're going to want. We always want. We always need. But really and truly, we don't really need all that stuff. We don't want all that stuff. A lot of stuff, we get stuff, and then we get the stuff and just put it in the closet. You say, I just got to have another car. I got to have another motorcycle. You can only ride one at a time. You know, but we are craving because we have this thing inside of us that don't let us rest, don't let us have any peace. We are always going like the ever ready bunny. We are always going looking for more. But Jesus said, you got to deny everything. Then he said this. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We don't want to bear anything. We don't want to carry anything. We don't want to be ridiculed. We don't want to be insulted or rebuked. We don't want to let nobody come against us. Let's guess what? Because we know it. We have no humility. We're not humble. We're not patient. We're not long-suffering. We're not forgiving. We have no mercy. Hallelujah, glory to God. And Jesus said, all that you got to have. You have to be willing to repent. You have to be willing to extend mercy. You have to be compassionate. All this is what Jesus is saying. This is why he's training them. He's teaching them how to become true disciples. Glory to God. You cannot make it in ministry if you don't get this type of teaching. You know, you're quick to shoot off at the mouth and tell somebody something. He says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? I was back in Barbados just a few months ago. And I was looking at a building across from my sister. And that's what Jesus was talking about. It's a three-story building. And this lady started to build the building, had the building erected. But from scratch, it's a nice building. Matter of fact, there's two buildings, one in front and one behind. But she didn't count the cost. She went ahead and behaved that she could do this. At the same time, she's not managing the money that she has. So before she could complete the buildings, she had run out of money. You hear what I'm saying? Now, I was there. And is an African guy and his wife. They own the building now. And they are working on it. He works somewhere, but he works on the weekend. Friday and Saturday he's working. Sunday he's in the church. He goes to church somewhere. And I noticed because every morning when he comes out, he and his wife, they always shoot up. Shout out for my sister. Said, Gloria, how are you? How are you, Gloria? They always call it to my sister. But he is doing it. I know that he don't, because I could tell that he don't have the money. He may take a loan from the government and he is working on the building. But he don't have anybody coming helping him work on the building. He is working on the building by himself. So every weekend, he does a little bit. Understand? He does a little bit. This is what you have to do. You have to come to the cost. What does it cost to walk, to follow Jesus? What does it cost to be a minister? You think it's easy? People call you names and mock you and do all type of stuff at you to be a minister. Even the very people that you minister to, you are seeking God on their behalf. They talk behind your back, cut you up. They tell the people that care about you. They make up lies about you. All this stuff going on. I was on the phone last night, yesterday evening, forgive me, with Evangelist Campbell. He had called me yesterday a couple of times. I didn't know the number, but every time I look around, she got a new phone number. So I really don't pick up my phone if I don't recognize the number. You know, because so many people, there's so many telemarketers, they want to sell you this and all types of tricks, just want to get your information and all that kind of stuff, you know. So she called me yesterday, and I said, well, you know, I didn't recognize the number, but I know it was a Mississippi number. So I said, let's call this number and see who it is. And if it's a telemarketer, I'm going to hang up. So when I called her, he said, hey, Dad, how you doing? I'm doing fine. I said, you're full of joy. She was laughing. And I mean, just giggling and stuff. I said, are you about to get married? Is that what you called to tell me? And she all been, she's dating somebody. She says, he called me, let me know. I want you to pray about this guy that I'm talking to, see if he's the right guy or not guy. Let's go before the Lord for the guy. So I said, no, I'm not getting married yet, but this guy, this young man, and he is, he's been attacked by sorcerers or witches or whatever you want to call them. They're working all type of stuff. And he come on the phone. She said, I just want you to do this young man, you know, because he come to me. And you know, I don't minister to women, not the men, but myself. So she called him. And she said, I'm going to go to the office and let you talk to him. So he started telling me all this stuff. And number one, I said, look, you know, the devil really don't have no power. You the church guy, you believe in Jesus Christ, devil don't have no power over you. You give him power. The first thing you do is you start seeing, you allow these people to do this stuff to you. I said, you need to start talking different. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:21. We have to speak what Jesus said. He said, no weapons formed against you should prosper. Every tongue that rises against you, he said, you must condemn. He didn't say that he would condemn. You got to condemn it. So I ministered to him for a while and then prayed with him, and he was sounding much better. You know, a lot of times we hear stuff, people are doing stuff. You are a disciple, man. You called to disciple. And we say we believe in Christ. We are filled of the Spirit. We speak in tongues. We fire baptized, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. All the stuff we say that sounds good, just like church folks say. But when it comes to attacks and all this stuff, man, we don't want to use the weapons that we have. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare is not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Man, you got the greatest weapon. It's more powerful than the atomic bomb. Prayer is powerful. And most of us don't want to spend time talking to God because it takes away from us watching the TV. It takes away from us being able to text somebody or send an email. I'm messing with the phone. It takes away from that. Prayer takes away from that. Going out to the restaurant, prayer. You don't want to spend a 45 minutes or an hour talking to God. That's where your power comes from, and that's where your power begins to get full. He said, look, you got to deny all the stuff. All the stuff that you're so in love with. Even your own self, you got to deny and follow him. Here in this text here, Jesus is using a hyperbole, a figure of speech that relies on exaggeration to make a point. He is not encouraging his followers to turn against their family members. Rather, he is explaining that every devotion to family does not supersede the call to discipleship. Jesus and God's kingdom must come first in the life of a believer. You know, it is very hard for us as believers to really get this point.
We put the, oh, she is so fine, my wife, my girlfriend, my husband, he's handsome. Oh, he give me everything. But you forget that your husband, your girlfriend, your wife, they get what they get through the power of God. You got what you have because of God's power, God's gracious gift to you. But we put everybody else before him. I told you this morning, I had to tell you, my heart was acting crazy last night. I mean, just crazy. I've never felt like that in my whole life.
Sell me some speakers.
On $1,700. Anyway, I felt like my heart was coming out my chest. It was bad. And I was laying down. I was about to fall asleep, drifting off. I get up, and I took one of them nitroglycerin that they give you. So every time anytime I get any pain in my chest, the doctor, I have these here for a long time. And this one is, they said this for a long time. Took one, but it didn't really do nothing. You know? I thought it was some steak that I ate that was making me feel bad. It wasn't indigestion. That was just a bad pain. Just hitting like crazy. I didn't have no pain like people say when you're getting a heart attack, pain going on your left arm and all that stuff. I ain't had none of that stuff. I just felt like the heart was just not doing right. And then all of a sudden, the pain goes up to my head, in the back of my neck. I said, oh, my Lord, what's this going on? So I said, you know what? I'm telling you this because some of y'all go through some stuff. You want to run to the hospital quick, fast, and hurry. And if a lot of time you go to the hospital, you don't make it out. You don't make it out. Because they want your liver, they want your kidneys, they want your bladder, they want your pancreas, they want all that stuff out of you. They make plenty of money off of this stuff, millions of dollars. So I went to go and talk to him last night. Oh, Lord, we had a good conversation. And I was telling him about the plans. I know you tell God stuff like God don't know, but I'm telling him because the Bible says you got to talk to him. God can hear, and he can talk. Then you got to, after you talk to him, he is the principal. You're the disciple, but after you talk to him, now you got to listen to him. God, he's going to give you some instructions. And the Lord said to me, he says, if you get the heating pad and just turn on the heating pad, put it on your chest and lay down. I just talked to him. I didn't use no anointing all night. This stuff. I just, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but the heart don't acting right. And I got a couple of trips that I'm planning right now. I said, Lord, I need to go to these places. I'm going to minister the word of God. I'm talking to him there. He said, just get the heating pad. So I said, oh, okay. So I reach and pull up the heating pad. You know, got a thermostat on it. You can set it low, medium, high. And, you know, and then after get a certain time, it'll go off. It'll work for 10 or 15 minutes, and then it'll switch off by itself. It goes on standby. It can't start a fire. And I put it on my chest. Yeah, in a few minutes, all of a sudden, things start feeling. The heart just becomes so relaxed. The heat going through my chest. God is feeling so good. And I feel so relaxed. Now my breathing and everything come back normal. Well, I begin to thank God. I begin to praise him this morning because he kept me through the night. I could have crossed over into oblivion. But he kept me in this, in the land of living. You see, you got to talk to him. See, when you spend time with him, Jesus said to these people, he's talking to his disciples, after the Pharisees and the scribes and all them would start messing with him. You know, of course, he's speaking in parables. And then he began to speak. Multitudes are following him because he's speaking with power and authority. He's not concerned with them because they don't move Jesus. You know, we got to get to that mindset. You know, when you're teaching and preaching, people are going to roll their eyes and squirm in their seats. Just continue teaching and preaching. Because even though they're acting like they don't want to hear you, the word's still getting through to them. When they leave your presence, that word going to cut them like a sickle or a sword. Listen. No. I told about that lady, and she had to sell that house back in the country, back in Barbados, for a little bit of money. Now the guy, he going to finish the house. And he and his wife living in the front side or the back side. Because like two buildings. And he's going to rent out the front. And he's finishing the basement. So he's going to have like three apartments in the front, three apartments in the back. He's living on top. He's going to make cash money. We got to count the cost. How long, how much do you want to be in ministry? Why you are in ministry? Are you in ministry to save souls? Or are you in ministry to get rich? You see how the people are cutting up Kenneth Courtland and T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen and all that? All the people are talking about them. Because you can only do so much that's contribute to God's word before the devil expose you. The same devil that making you rich will expose you before all the people. And then when you get exposed, guess what all the other Christians look down on? Because people lift you up, keep you up, put you up high on a pedestal. And then when you first say, they start seeing CNN and NBC and ABC and all these channels start saying, I told you them Christians with this and this Christian with that. Why? Because we don't want to follow the principles of God. We don't want to follow his principles. He gave them instructions when he said to them, look, don't take two of this and two of that, all this stuff. I'm just paraphrasing. So don't even worry about writing a script, writing a sermon. So when you get where you're going, I'm going to give you what you need to say. I'm going to provide for you when you get into the city. I'm just trying to put this message on here for you. All about listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Just count the cost. He says, look, less happily, verse 29, after you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock you, mock him. You set up the foundation like some of these folks. They want to have a church building. Listen to me. They want to have a church building. They don't want to follow their pastor. They feel that they can do it better than their pastor. Their pastor been preaching for 40 years, 30 years, 50 years. They want to just cut loose, and then they want to talk just like Satan did when he was in heaven. They want to talk to some of the people in the congregation and turn them against the pastor to follow them into the church that they can start. But they don't realize what it takes to start a church. Keep it going. They get out there, they don't have a PA system. They don't have microphones. They don't have no drums. They don't have a keyboard. They don't have no praise singers. Nobody to usher in the presence of the Lord. They don't have any chairs. No pews to sit on. All they have is a room. And then they can't afford to pay for the room because they don't have the people to pay the tithes and offerings. They say, oh, I didn't realize it. It takes so much to put a church together. But they look at the man of God, that woman of God, and say, well, I could do better than him. Never go to get the teaching that they need from their pastor, their bishop, their apostle. Say, Pastor, well, look, the right way was to go ask the pastor, say, Pastor, but, you know, I believe God is leading me to start a church, and I never had a church before. I've been following you, and can you give me any insight of how to put it together? Discipleship. And then you always keep that man, that woman of God, as your overseer. Why? Because God will bless you. But when you start to cut that man up, you're trying to start a church. Satan will always go through what he's going through until he get his final disaster and meet his final end in the lake of fire and brimstone. He was right there with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But he think he could sit on that throne. The throne was for God. It's for God, not for man, not for you, not for Satan. Jesus said to them, Jesus speaking, he said, seeing this man began to build and was not able to finish, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth down not first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. No. Look at this war that's going on in the Middle East. In the Hamas, and I was just listening to him the other night, Hamas was saying they didn't expect Israel to hit back so hard. They thought that the people was against the Prime Minister Netanyahu, and that when they're going there and they kill these people, that they were able to destroy all the rest of Israel. They wouldn't have come against them. They didn't know that Israel has so much, but has been building up so much weapons to defend the people. They didn't count the cost. Now the builder, they even build, put weapons underneath the hospitals and in schools and all this stuff. And people are dying because of Hamas. They haven't counted the cost. Even the headquarters, they lost. Israel took over the headquarters and put a flag up, letting the whole world know that we have the headquarters of the terrorists. People, we have to build. But we have to count the cost, and we have to seek God and have to have people in our corner that will stand with us. You know, we started in 2010, Blog Talk Radio. This is 2023, going into 2024. And how many people say that we wouldn't even last? Because it wasn't about how, when God tell us to get this ministry, it wasn't about how many people we have coming on each day. It's never about how many coming on. It's about how many people hear us after we turn off the computers. I got three computers light up right here, three iPads. It looks like a studio. Now if I crank up the desktop and the laptop, I'll have five computers around me. But God said, I want you to go in there because I want you to go in there and I want you to put my word out there just as it is. The word is what's going to do the work, not you. The word is going to do the work. I just want you to be the mouthpiece so that you'll teach people that they need to live holy. They need to follow my instructions. Many people want to be in there because they want the product, but they don't want to go through the process and they don't want the principles. They want the product. Don't want to go through the process, and don't want the principles. Because the principle means that we must follow Jesus. We must deny everything that around us. He didn't say hate them, but he's saying that we must not put any of these things before him. You love your wife, you love your husband, you love your children, you love the dog, you love the cat. But you must love God first. And if you put him first, you are a true disciple, and you'll be able to do great exploits. Put him first. Not about the congregation. It's about the assignment. God gonna deal with the congregations. You got to honor the assignment that's on your life. That's your ministry. So when you leave, when you turn off the microphone and the man in the booth or the woman in the booth turn off the soundboard, and you step out there and get in your car or on your motorcycle, that's when your ministry begins. You preach well. You sing some good melodic sounds. But when you get on your car, you're going out to the all-you-can-eat restaurant, the seafood restaurant, wherever you go, that's where your ministry begins. Because then the real congregation is checking you out. Oh, I know him. I know her. He's a pastor. Look. The way he got his hand around that woman, the way she got her hand around that man, well, something going on there. Now, see, they're reading the sermon now. The congregation looking at the sermon that you're preaching right now, physical sermon. They don't want to come to your church. Listen to what Jesus said. This is all in red. He says, or as while the other is yet a great way off the other army, he sendeth an ambassage and desires condition of peace. Now he sends out a delegation. He sends out to go and talk to the other opposing enemy. Go and talk to them. Because why? He didn't have a plan. He went and get into war, but he didn't have a plan. He is about to be destroyed. Look at Hamas. Thousands and thousands of them died. So many leaders lost their life because they didn't have a plan. And then plan that they had could not succeed because they're coming against God's people. God gonna fight for you. God gonna fight for me. If we walk upright before, if we love Him, and we walk upright before Him, He said, no good thing He will withhold from us. God gonna fight for us. God gonna supply our needs. Listen to me. It doesn't mean that we don't come up short from time to time. Ain't no witch or no warlock can do me no harm. Can do you no harm. Oh, they can mix up their stuff. But when we begin to pray, the stuff that they're mixing up, that's mixing bowl they have, something will happen, the bowl will tilt open, it will fall right on them. The trap they set for us, they will catch their own feet. Didn't David say that? The very trap that they set, the net they trap they set, will catch their feet. Why? Because you're talking to Jesus. You're talking to the one who ordered your steps. He says here, so likewise, whosoever he be or of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. See, there's conditions that are set, that are wanted. It's right here. He said you have to have this mindset that nothing in the world is more important than falling in, than being his disciples. We want to be his disciples when it's convenient for us, when it feels right, when it sounds right. But when the storms are raging, the fire's burning, we don't want to be his disciples. We don't want to take a rebuke from the pastor. Who she thinks she is, who he thinks he is talking to me like that. But we want to be, do you know how many names they called Jesus? They weren't able to put him in the Bible. They called him all types of names. How they treated him. But he's honoring everything that the Father has given to him to do. He says, salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Men cast out the thing that is no good. Can you hear what God is saying to us today? And here he says, you have to count the cost. His followers, as well as those in the crowd of pilgrims who had not yet become his disciples, to consider the great sacrifice involved in their decision. This decision is unique to Luke's travel narrative. You're looking at the past. But you haven't even considered how much the pastor had to go through to get where he's at. Now, I remember I went over to Louisiana, and I visited Pastor Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. I visited their church with Prophet Misha and Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington. We and also had Tanisha, Misha's daughter, was there with us. And we went to the church. The pastor had it. It was nice storefront church. And it was nice. They had it fixed up very nice on the inside. It looked like a place of heaven. The colors that they were using, like royal colors they had in there. But if you go to the new church that they have now, this is a building, not a storefront. You may come to, well, how did it get? Can you consider what they've been through for all the years that were in that storefront? And sometimes the roof would leak, and they had to have the roof fixed. The air conditioner would break. They had to have it fixed. All this stuff. The bathroom was small. All this stuff. No, they have a plush bathroom. I mean, plush, elegant. You say, well, I go over there, I can preach better than that man. I preach better than that woman. I get me a church. I'm going to get a church. You can't get it because you haven't been through nothing. You haven't been through anything. And if it happened that you buy it because the people buying the lottery cards, preachers and them something. You buy it, you got win the lottery, you buy, get a building, it wouldn't last. Because it's not built on the true foundation of Jesus Christ. You're getting a building because you want to be like the pastor down the street. You understand? We got a preacher here that have a nice building, but don't have the right spirit. Right here in Boston, got a nice building, but don't have the right spirit. And the church been around for about 30-some years, 40-some years, ain't got no more than three or four members. Something is wrong. Maybe that pastor wasn't called to be a pastor. Maybe the attitude that the pastor has, the spirit that the pastor has, is not allowing the people to come. It's a hindrance to the spirit of God. It's a hindrance. That's why God had to rebuke Peter. Peter was becoming a hindrance to what he had to do. Here, let's go to another scripture. We're just talking with the disciples. But I got a lot of stuff here in this sort of great narrative inside the Logos Bible. Let's go to, Jesus have mercy. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus speaks all through this book. Matthew chapter 12. We're in the NLT. Just got to give you street something today. This beautiful day in the King James Version too. In the King James Version, Jesus speaks again. Chapter 12. I'm getting the hiccups. Oh, bless the name. Chapter 12. And let's start at verse 38. Glory to God. Let me see what I got to do. Yes. He says, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. In other words, they say to Jesus, Master, show us a sign. We want to see a sign. What can you do? You call yourself the Son of God. You call yourself a prophet. You call yourself a rabbi. You can imagine they're saying all these things that we are not seeing in the Bible. But you've got to look in the Word and look in the Word as you're looking in the spirit realm. They're asking Jesus all this stuff. And Jesus, he's very calm. This is what we have to learn as disciples. Be like Jesus. Be calm. Don't let people agitate you. Don't let them get you so high that you step out of who you really are and become who they want you to be. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Jesus is very calm. Listen to Jesus. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now he's talking about his death right now. Okay. Jonah had to be in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Let me say that. For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. This is King James Version. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You see that scripture in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. He said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. The people of Nineveh repented. People today don't want to repent. They don't really see a reason to repent. They are seeing what they want to see and doing what they want to do. This is the people, this is the generation that we are living in. He says, Jonah repented, the people repented the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. He speaks about himself. He is greater than Jonah, he's greater than Paul, he's greater than John, he's greater than Peter, he's greater than everybody. He sits high and looks low. He understands what's in your heart before you even open your mouth. This is what Jesus I'm talking about. That's why we need to repent every single day and every moment that we get. That something come up that we can see. He shows us something, allows us to see something in our soul, in our heart. Repent. He said, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. queen of Sheba. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus is greater than all them all. You see the scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. Luke 11:31. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. See, people are so messed up now. They are empty. This is why Satan is so easily. Their house is clean, but it's empty. It's void of Jesus Christ. Look at the young people, piercings all over them. Piercing the navel, piercing the tongue, piercing the behind, piercing on the leg, piercing the arm, piercing the face, piercing the eyebrows. I mean, they even stick the thing through the eyebrows. Almost like if the man make a mistake, he could damage their eye and they'll be blind in that eye, or, you know, lose their sight. But they are so wicked to themselves, destructive to themselves. They don't have Jesus. They're empty. You tell some of them, ask some of them about the crucifixion. They say, what are you talking about? They say, I don't know. I never heard about the crucifixion. They're 22. They're 23 years old. They finished college. They have degrees, but no understanding. It's good when you have your grandchildren and great-grandchildren in your church, your sons and your daughters, because at least they're going to college and they're hearing the word of God. They can't lie to themselves. Jesus said, now, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood out outside, desired to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stands without, desiring. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother and who is my brethren? He asked them a question. Jesus already knew that his mother and the other disciples are outside. He is God, all by himself. He can see through the walls. He walks through the walls. So you know he can see through the walls. He knows who's on the outside, who's on the perimeter. But Jesus says to this, who is my mother and who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. So we can ask ourselves today, are we doing the will of the Father? Are we honoring God with our lifestyle, what we're supposed to be doing? Go to Matthew chapter 26. Glory to God. It's raining down here, but it's cool on the inside. It's comfortable on the inside. Matthew chapter 26. Let's start at verse 18. And let's go into some of this. We're talking about discipleship. Discipleship means that you must follow. You must be able to hear and understand. Not just listening with empty, blocked ears. This is why Jesus said, he that have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. A lot of people are sitting in the congregation and the pastor is preaching with, oh, so much fire and sound doctrine. And they're jumping up and they say, preach, pastor, preach. Preach, bishop, preach, preach, preach. Preach, apostle, preach, prophetess. But when they leave the congregation, somebody says, man, I didn't get to go to church today. And they say, well, boy, you missed a good sermon today. You really missed it. Girl, you missed a real good sermon. And the person says, well, what did the pastor preach about? What's she preaching? What did he preach about? And the person responds, I don't know what he preached, but I tell you, it sure was good. Oh, man, it was lively in there today. Everybody was jumping and shouting. Oh, it was lively inside the house today. They heard nothing. Jesus says, he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12 disciples, and as they did eat, he said, verily or surely I say unto you, the one of you shall betray me. See, Jesus knows everything. He eats with you. He talks with you. He teaches you. But he also knows that you're going to betray him. You're going to play with the gospel, what you can get out of the gospel. You're going to abuse the saints for what you want to get. Jesus see all of this. He said, one of you eat with me, going to betray me. He says, and they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Can you hear that? Imagine that Jesus already knows who's going to betray him. He is having supper with the disciples.
Hold on a minute. You didn't hear, brother? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He is speaking with his disciples, and they're eating and drinking. They're at supper. This is the Passover supper. They paying him, getting ready for to be crucified, to be betrayed and be crucified. His disciples, they with him. And Jesus released this word so powerful. Can you imagine the feeling that went over the disciples that was there with him? Then you know that what feeling went over. They started looking at each other and talking to Jesus.
and asking him a very profound question. Is it I? Is it I that's going to betray you, Rabbi? Master, can you tell me? I don't feel anything inside of me yet, but can you tell me if it is I, Lord?
So Jesus said to him, the one that dip in my bowl.
The one that dip in the bowl with me is the one. And can you imagine that Judas comes up and take a piece of bread, unleavened bread? Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said, and other words, you have said correctly. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This is so powerful, man. He is teaching them here. Look, this is what you're going to have to do. I'm going to be betrayed, but this is the last time that I'm going to drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink again with you in my Father's kingdom. The new wine. Okay? Hallelujah, glory to God. We take a lot of this stuff for granted. You know, after I finish this sermon, I'm going to partake of Holy Communion on this Sabbath. But I go in there and look at my own self, like Jesus said. And I repent the thoughts, words, action. When they had sung at him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They must suffer, just as Jesus suffered. They will be scattered. They will deny him. But this must happen so that they can carry on the work. Somebody said, well, they were with Jesus all the time and they still deny him. They had to deny him so they could stay alive. He was all that was needed to pay the debt for the world. Only his blood, not the disciples' blood. But they had to stay alive so they can carry this word out so that we today can have this word. The disciples had to be instructed. They got all that they needed from Jesus. Even when he came back, when he arose from the dead, he still gave them more instructions. before he went up, ascending to heaven. Give them more instruction. Why? Because he is the master. They are the students. We need to listen more, hear more, follow more, so that we can get more. This is what it's all about. Don't jump off and believe that you can swim. You're in the boat, but the boat is not moving fast enough for you. You want to jump off and jump in the water because you think you can get to port before. And when you jump in the water, guess what? There's sharks in the water. There's alligators in the water. There's barracudas in the water. Sailfish in the water that can pierce you with a big old spike they got on the head. You don't want to sit still. Pastor's teaching. Pastor's is singing. Pastor's praying. But you believe you can go faster. And all it is the devil is right there pricking you to betray the work of the Lord. That's all that's happening. If you are a true disciple, all the other stuff doesn't matter. This is where we start with first. Jesus said, God, deny everything. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, even yourself, you're going to deny. If you want to carry this mantle for real, if you really want to carry this mantle of God, you have to. We have to. If we want to carry it, we got to deny self. Self is the problem. That's the main problem. Because a lot of times, tell the truth, we can deny not hanging up with sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. We cannot deny that. But deny the things that make us feel good, like having sexual intercourse outside of your marriage or outside your relationship, eating stuff that you know you shouldn't eat. We can't deny. Because the flesh overpowers us. We said we're not going to do it. But you end up doing it anyway. People say, I will. But they end up saying, I won't. Some say they do, but they end up saying, I don't. Luke 12:22 says, and his disciples said unto him, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. So Jesus going on in there, real deep. See, because we focus more on looking good on the outside. We are looking good on the outside. But the inside is like a sepulcher. It's like a whitewashed tomb. Jesus has given us the instruction that we need to have as disciples, how to live for him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Glory to God. You have to make this is more than a sacrifice. I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures, then we're going to close out. I got to partake of Holy Communion. You pop two of these capsules here. And these in the meal. This herb here. Hallelujah, Jesus. He says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Waste. Neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them. I was on this the other night. And God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they don't work. They spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He was not as fine as one of these. If God clothes, so clothes the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Jesus speaking this thing with so much power. Listen to me. So much power. I was just quoting this the other night. And he said, and seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. See, if you're going to really walk with Christ or for Christ, you're going to have faith. Glory to God. You're going to have faith in order to do what God calls you to do. Because in this world, you're going to have all types of obstacles that are going to come up against the kingdom. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, the kingdom is not a building. It's not a building. It's not a place. This thing is inside of you. It's a heavenly treasure that dwells on the inside of you. It's God's wisdom. It's God's everything that God hoped to have you do. It's inside of you. God placed, he said you have this treasure in earthen vessel. The kingdom is living on the inside of you. But we are looking every which way for the kingdom. We are dressing up. And it's not nothing wrong with dressing, have a nice suit or a nice dress or a nice wig on your head so you're bald or your hair dropping out. You know, women sometimes their hair dropping out. And they had to wear a wig. Some men wear a toupee. And you got the nice shoes on, nice suit on. So nothing wrong with that. But don't let your focus be on that stuff. Your focus got to be on establishing the kingdom. He said, remember the Lord thy God, for him that give you power to get wealth, to establish the covenant. You got to share this word. You're living to reach souls. This is why God called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, so that you, what you release will cause somebody to come out of darkness to come into light. The word does the work. But if we are watering down the word and trying to make the word sound eloquent, cause somebody, so somebody says, well, he's a great preacher, she's a great preacher. Man, I tell people, I'm not a preacher. When I open this Bible, God has to show me what he needs done. And if I write a sermon, I don't ever get to preach it. Very seldom. It's in the computer. It's in my notebook. But I open the Bible and I just go right from there. Go to Luke chapter 17. Go to Luke chapter 17. I'm going to give you something, what the Lord has given us. Luke 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is possible, but that offense will come. But woe unto him through whom they came. Jesus letting you know that you're going to go through some stuff. He is preparing them. It's in the word of God. You preaching, you say, well, I can't understand. I've been preaching to these people for so long. I've been doing this to these people. And how they hit me. They talk about me. Man, look, expect this. Jesus said this is going to happen. He didn't keep you on, didn't keep us in darkness. He said that this is going to happen. They're going to say all types of stuff about us. They're going to do stuff to us. They're going to turn the very people that were with us, going to turn others against us. Then Jesus told the disciples, the one, it's my last one. I'm going to get a bottle of wine from the liquor store. Of course, the wine. But just a beer and drip. The people that drink with you, eat with you, dance with you, sing with you, is the ones who going to betray you. You can believe it or not. You may have some good ones that are going to stick through the storm with you. Well, praise God for them. But there's some that all they want to do is do whatever they can to stop you. Because the spirit that's in them is not of God. They talk like it is, but it's not of God. Here in Luke chapter 17, Jesus spoke there. Look at verse 22. Hear what God is saying. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. No. There's times going to come there with him. They're having a good time. They're experiencing his glory, his power, his authority. He said, if they're coming, you're going to wish for one of these days. You want to see one of these days. You know? You have people coming to, man, I can't stand up by the pastor teach all type of stuff for them. And then they wish that they saw the pastor. Go to Matthew chapter 9. They wish. But they get so, they're so shamed they can't even come and repent and tell that you're sorry. They know the time that they have with the pastor, with the bishop, with the apostle, with the evangelist, with the teacher, with the deacon. But the shame. Because Satan will lead you in a place where you become shame and you can't stand up for truth anymore. Listen. Luke chapter 9. 18. While he spake, talking with Jesus, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hands upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind it and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned himself about, turn around. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour immediately. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrel, the musicians, the singers, and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place or get out, for the maid is not dead but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. See, Jesus know what's going on. Folk don't know. Hallelujah. They laugh. You see, you know some things because you are connected to the master. And the master will show you some things in the spirit realm. And folk will laugh and say, he said that. But they don't see the manifestation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God will show you because you are a disciple. You're allowing Jesus to speak to you. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. And when Jesus departed hence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. See, he is teaching the disciples all of this. He allowed them to see him operate in the power of God. Hallelujah. Some folk are not going to believe until they see the power of God flowing through you. As you decrease, God would increase in you. As you allow the people to know that it's not you but him, God will show up more in your ministry. God will show up more on your job. You say, well, I didn't get this job on my own. God gave me this job. Nobody can take it from me. Yes, they're coming. The supervisors, the managers, the boss, everybody. They give me a pink slip, and by the time I'm walking out, they're calling you back. Come on back. We just made a mistake. Why? Because God's the one who opened the door for you, and no one can close it when he opened it. When he closed it, don't try open it in because you can't get it open. Look, Jesus took her, and she got up. She rose up, and his fame went abroad into all the land. Jesus departed thence, and the blind man called out to him. When he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto thee. Be it unto you. Where is your faith today? I feel like I was dying last night, to be truthful with you. I feel like I was dying. I never died before. But the way my heart felt in my chest, in my, I wasn't running. I wasn't having sex. I wasn't doing nothing. I was just laying there, and all of a sudden, I went out of breath. Heart started acting. And you know that I had heart problems in 2017, very bad heart problems. One artery was 75% blocked. Another one was 35%. I didn't know about the 35% until I get back here from Africa. Well, they got me on a special pill that's supposed to clean the artery and keep them clean. But, you know, sometimes you eat some food, some of these foods that, like, sometimes you eat the fried chicken or you eat the spare ribs and stuff. They got a lot of fat in them. The fat cling to your artery. So you have to keep work, have to keep taking stuff. You know, you can't eat that stuff regular, because if you eat it regular, you'll die. And I love barbecue spare ribs. Oh, Lord, I love them. And I love some Kentucky fried chicken. Oh, I love it. But I can't eat that stuff all the time. Once in a while, I treat myself. I like the Jamaican curry golden rice. And I love the oxtail, but I can't eat them all the time. Like I usually go once a week on Saturday. And I get two meals from there. The two meals will last me 3 days, sometimes 4 days. But this weekend I said, no. On Thursday, I heard in my spirit, don't go down there. So I'm not going down there today. You know, I drove down about 20 minutes from here and go get it. But I'm not going down there today. You got to govern yourself. You hear the stuff in the spirit. Go down to verse 37. Jump down to verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers in the harvest. You know, a lot of time pastors are working so hard, and people don't think. You say, well, the pastor just get up there and preaches more than just getting up there and preach. Boy, I tell you, it's a lot more than that. The pastor has to study. He meditate on the word. He get it together. Some pastors, they put it in the computer, then they type it. They type it in the computer, then they print it, and then they have to go over so to get acquainted with the word that they teach. Even though they know pretty much about the Bible, they know a lot of the scriptures in the Bible, but they have to go so to get this connection to the word. And then as they're preaching, stuff is flowing through them, and they're moving, and this anointing is upon their lives. By the time they finish preaching the gospel for an hour and a half, 45 minutes, however long they teach in the church. Because a lot of people, pastors, don't teach that long, don't preach that long in the church because they're concerned about the people's time. Pastor was good pastor. And the pastor, I call him good, but, you know, Jesus said there's nobody good but God. And I say he was good. And now, because he said to the people, he said, look, I'm preaching what God gave me to preach. And if you want to go home and cook your chicken or turkey, whatever, especially coming to Thanksgiving, now people turkeys and stuff. He said, if you got to go, go. The door's open. You can leave anytime, but I'm going to finish the message. And he would preach according under the anointing, full of the power. And never so often you see somebody get to a treat with Gavin going this after. He's preaching for an hour and a half, an hour and 45. And no one preaches. But today I watched the people. I visited a pastor a couple of weeks, and the pastor got the clock is right across from the altar. They always have the clock facing the altar. So the pastor's preaching, watching the clock. He said, oh, I got to go. I just got 5 more minutes. And he might preach 5 more minutes, but the Holy Spirit is using him And then he turned the car. Can I preach 5 more minutes? No, I believe go ahead and preach under the anointing. If the people want to go, don't get mad. There's some that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, they're going to stay. But he puts a limit to the gospel, to the Holy Ghost. This pastor stopped the message every Sunday. He tells me, he says, we preach, we come up, we sing. We start the church at 10:30. We sing for 30 minutes or 20 or 15 minutes. And we come and we're going to talk a little bit. And he said, but we're going to get over here at 12 o'clock. When 12 o'clock, fight the travel come, he's preparing. He's already hooping and duping and all that stuff he's doing, hooping, you know. But 12 o'clock, he closed on church. God maybe want you to stay just 10 more minutes because somebody might come into the house. Just pull up there and say they need to hear a word and just come by the church. Come by the building because somebody might, the pastor might say a word or pray for them and all the preachers sitting there all the day. And the preacher's done in the office, cooling down now because he's dreamed, she's dreamed. Person want to be prayed for. But we give up because we're running the show. You hear what Jesus says? He said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers in his harvest. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 11. I'm telling you, if you truly is a disciple, you're going to have to be willing to follow. You're going to have to be willing to take instructions. And when the pastor rebuke you in love, take the rebuke. Don't leave the church because the pastor says something to you and somebody here. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 11, and it came to pass when Jesus had made the end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. That's Matthew 11 and 1. Matthew chapter 11 and 2. And when John had heard in the prison that the works of Christ, let's read that again. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist, he is in prison preaching about repentance and for rebuking Herodias. That's why he was in there. For preaching and for rebuking Herodias because he had sex with his brother's wife. And admiring his brother's wife. So he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? This is a message that John sent his disciples to ask. Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. This is so powerful. Jesus never answered the question. He said, look, the evidence will prove who I am. So go tell John. Tell him, give him the evidence. The disciples carry back the news to John. He's in prison. He's going to lose his head too. Herod's going to have him beheaded in the prison. See, we preaching this gospel and teaching this gospel and don't understand how awesome it is that God has given us this great privilege to preach the gospel. Go to
Matthew 16. I don't know if I hit this one. Let's go Matthew 16. Then I'm going to do 16 and 24. And then I'm going to do Proverbs. Then I'm going to partake of this Holy Communion, and then I'm going to jump over here. Hallelujah. Let's go one more scripture. One more scripture there. Okay. Let's Matthew 16, 24. What did he say? Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Are you willing to go through for Jesus? Are you willing to be tested and tried in the fire of this world? Verse 21 says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Oh, Jesus is so powerful. Now Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. This shouldn't happen to you. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, talking to the spirit inside of Peter. Peter wasn't Satan, but the spirit that was in Peter at that time. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things of God, but those that be of men. See, Peter don't see through the eyes of God. He's not hearing from heaven. He's talking in the flesh. Matthew 10 to God. Matthew 10. Verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Hallelujah. And then we have the names of disciples. He gave them power. He taught them. He instructed them. And he gave them power what they shall do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How to operate in the world, says Proverbs chapter 24. Last scripture. Proverbs 24. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My. When you spend time with the Lord will give you the instructions that you need. He will empower you from his throne room. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Proverbs 24 and 1. Proverbs 24 and 27 says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thy house. If you're going to be a preacher, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to prepare yourself by studying the Word of God. This is the work. You have to get the tools that you need to do ministry. Hallelujah. You can't follow every preacher that you hear. Run into every revival, every convocation that you hear. There's nothing wrong with going to convocations. But you need to spend time in the Word of God for yourself, studying the Word of God. Do you hear me today? This is what's going to give you the strength. This is what's going to give you the power to stand when you're called to preach. I was in a church the other day, and I was sitting about 3 seats from the back. I was just visiting the church. And all of a sudden, the pastor, I've known him for years. He's got a new building now. He used to have a little storefront, just very small, just a little squeeze-up room.
but he's got a nice building now. And all of a sudden he called me up and he wants me to pray. Hold on a minute. Amazon dropping off a box. Oh, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We thank you, Lord God, that you allow us to know that we have to learn how to follow. And we not need to learn how to receive, and we have to learn how to activate even the word that we hear in our ministry, in our life, O God. Father, we ask, O God, now that you bless all those that came on today to hear this word that you have given us. And we ask you to continue to bless the four corners of the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, let your anointing continue to destroy the yokes that are trying to hold your people in bondage. Set the captives free in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask blessing that you will bless this wheat of the field that represents the body of your dear beloved Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, and this root, fruit of the vine that represents his blood that has been shed for us. And Lord, I ask today that even as I partake of these today, that as always on the Sabbath there, God, that I be partaking of healing for my natural body as your word is healing for my spiritual body. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for I receive of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word and to this holy commune in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us all drink together, those of you that have commune drink. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I thank you that I'm still here in the land of the living, and I'm able to partake of your body and your blood. Thank you, Lord, for receiving me as your son, your dear son, O God, who loves you with everything that's within me. Lord, I ask you to continue to keep my heart strong, heal my body, and strengthen me, O God, that I might glorify you in all that I do and all that I say, that my life will show forth thy works, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, God, today, right now, for Israel. As always, God, that you continue to watch over Israel. Watch over Jerusalem. It's the apple of your eye, Lord God. We pray that you watch over them. And, Lord, that you keep the nation safe, Lord God. We pray for Hamas. Pray for Hezbollah. We pray, O God, for Syria and Lebanon, Iraq and Iran. O God, we pray for Egypt, Afghanistan and Pakistan. Yes, Lord, we pray for Lebanon. All of those Middle Eastern nations, Lord God, that are coming against Israel. Lord, you said in the Bible that they shall come from all four points, the north, the south, the east, and the west, but they will not overthrow Israel. But Father, we are asking that you, in all your mercy and grace, that you would reach down from your throne in glory, and that you would touch all the inhabitants of the Middle East, Israel, Jerusalem, all those other Muslim countries, Lord. Lord, as they come, some of them are getting dreams in the nighttime. They're getting dreams of your beloved son. Father, we ask that you continue to dream them, give them dreams, release a prophetic oracle in the atmosphere that as they hear, Lord, they'll begin to submit. They'll begin to come to you, Lord, for salvation. Lord, we recognize that no one can come to you except you draw them. So we ask you to draw. Draw the lost souls to you, Father. Lord, you tell us very plain and clearly that all souls are yours. But you said the soul that sinners shall die. Lord, give them the opportunity to know who you are. Give them an opportunity to come to you, oh God. Lord, we ask you to touch all those that are supplying weapons, making weapons of mass destruction. God, we pray that you, oh God, convict them. They're boastful of the kind of weapons that they have, the kind of weapons that they're making. Our nation is making a weapon now that can destroy humanity instant. And they're spending billions of dollars. This is what our country is doing, Father. You know I'm not saying nothing that you don't know. They're advertising on TV. This is how the devil is. They're advertising on TV that they're making this supersonic weapon in that it can go any place, can reach you any place you are, take your life. But we have so many people all over the world. And this weapon that they're making costs hundreds of billions of dollars. Not 2 billion, not 3 billion, hundreds of billions of dollars. But we have so many people that are dying for starvation, dying for shelter, don't have shelter, don't have a place to rest their head. Do you hear me today? But we are investing billions upon billions to create weapon of mass destruction. Something is wrong with that picture. But only you, God, only you, Father, can change that. Only you can turn the table to where men would have a better understanding of what life is. You know what life is, Father, because you gave your son, your only begotten son. You gave him that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You gave mankind a chance to make a sound decision for life. But we ask you now, Lord, praying now, Father, that you touch the President of the United States of America, that you touch, oh God, the President of Turkey, oh God, the Lebanese government, the Israeli Prime Minister, the Prime Minister of London, you touch them, Lord. God, you make a difference. If you don't show up in their life, in their situation, nothing is going to happen. So we ask you now, Father, that you show up and show out. Touch the hearts of the people. People might receive and say, well, we got to stop doing this. Let's do something for those that are hungry. Let's reach out and help the poor. Let's reach out and touch the hunger. Lord, we have to make a chance. We have to make a change. And nobody can make a change or cause people to make a change but you. So we're calling on you today, God. God, go through the Middle East. Begin to touch the hearts and minds of the people. Cause the people to repent and turn from their wickedness, oh God. And Father, they would hear from you would hear from heaven. You will forgive our sins and heal our land. And Father, we are grateful. Lord, we ask today that you touch those that are
sick in their bodies. Heal those that are suffering, oh God, with cancer. Lord, make a difference. Those that are going astray from you and decided that they want to live life the way they want to live life, we are asking you, Father, to bring change. Bring a revival in the hearts of men. Lord, not a phony revival that these people run around saying they have a revival and nobody's getting changed. But I'm talking about a revival that comes from heaven. Oh, God, we hear that when man looked, they would say, yes, there's truly a revival taking place. People are being changed. People are being healed. Hallelujah. This is what we're praying for right now, Lord. We are praying that you touch the hearts of men and women all over the world just to see what you see. Cause them to see what you see. Cause them to feel what you are doing, oh God. Cause them to acknowledge the power that moves from heaven to earth, oh God. Father, we are careful each day to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, a lot of times we don't do Holy Communion, the prayer of salvation on Saturdays, but today we want to give you all the people out there in computer land, we want to give you an opportunity to receive the gift of salvation. Because to tell the truth, tomorrow is not promised to anybody, not to you, and sure enough, not to me. So if you out there in computer land, and you know in your heart that you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take the time and repent. Just a moment. Don't take too long. Don't take a long time to repent. Just repent. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Just don't say you repent and then go back doing the stuff. It's got to be coming out the heart. This repentance got to come out the heart. You got to feel sorry knowing that without Jesus in your heart that you will die and go to hell. And you know, with turn away from your sin and giving Jesus the opportunity to cleanse you, that you will have an opportunity to be with him in glory. So just examine your heart right now. Peter says, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Very, very simple. It's not a long, drawn-out thing. Just acknowledge where you are. Acknowledge where you are in your walk with him and give him the opportunity to come in. Because see, he'll come in. If you give him the opportunity to come in your heart, he is so faithful. He'll enter your heart and he will change your life. This is the God that I serve. All he needs is for you, me, anyone that know that they're out there and doing this stuff and want to change their life. You got to want to change it. He's not going to force you to change it. You got to want to change. So if you know that that's you, that you've been living in sin, but you want to come out of that darkness of sin and get into the light of Christ, he is willing and he's ready to take you in. It's very simple. My friend, just say, Lord Jesus, I have heard the word, and today I am coming just as I am, with great expectancy. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of salvation, in need of a Savior. And as I have heard the word, I'm repenting for my sins today. Meaning that I'm turning away from the lifestyle that I've been living, and I'm coming to you with great expectancy. Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. Come to you now with great expectancy, knowing that you're the only one that can save my soul. You're the only one, Jesus. So I give you entrance to my heart. Come in
Come in and save me. My heart free. Be the God of my salvation. And if that is your prayer today, I want to tell you, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and tell them that you have received the gift of salvation, that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. See, because you need to be baptized. A lot of people say, well, I don't have to be baptized. I don't have to, you know, I'm saved and I'm this and I'm that. No. But the Bible says you need to be baptized. You should be baptized in Jesus' name. My friend, if that's you and you give praise to the Master, you acknowledge your point, your place right now, call up a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. See, you have to be baptized. There's no easy way around it. You know, some people are going to tell that you don't need to be baptized and all this stuff. But I'm telling you today that you need to be baptized. Okay? You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies. And because you want people to be at this great occasion of your life. You know, when you go to court, you have witnesses and you have people who accuse you. You know, a lot of witnesses are there, but they're not there for your best. Now this is something that people are there for your best, to see you as God sees you. Invite people, okay? And get yourself involved. Get yourself involved in ministry. It's so important. It's so important. I tell you no lie. It's very important. But before you go down the water, know that you're going down the liquid grave. Call up. You let the people know. And you got the witnesses are there. You're going down in that liquid grave. My friend, your life will never, ever, 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 ever be the same. I tell you the truth. You'll never be the same. So, after you get baptized, we call it that you're going down in a liquid grave. This is what we say. You're going into a liquid grave, but declaring to the people that are watching that you have given your life to Christ openly before all the people. You know, you have given your life to Christ. And now, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are baptizing openly. For people to see. They see, recognize that your life now belongs to Christ Jesus. You hear me today? That's what it's all about. After you come about that water, find you a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. Because that's where you want to be. You want to be in a church that is preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you get yourself involved in ministry. Get to work. God bless you. And I praise God for you. I thank God for you all that came on today. And I pray that we said something today that touched your heart, that draw you closer. In the mighty name of Jesus, this is our prayer today. Okay. The line is now open. Anyone wants to share something, say a word or anything? If not, we're going to pray and close out. We love you anyway. Pray that God will bless each and every one of you all today on this line to be ready for tomorrow, to share the word of God that God give you for his people. All right. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you give us today. And we pray, O God, that what we said has made a difference in somebody's life. We pray, O God, that you will continue to speak to us and speak through us as we yield to you, O Lord and O Savior. Father, we ask you to continue to bless Apostle Stewart, bless Pastor Joyce Stewart, bless, O God, Deacon Fraser, Brother Brother Mark, thank you for Minister Jones, Prophetess Kersey. Thank you, God, for the work that you're doing. And for the young man, Roderick, that we prayed for yesterday, Lord. We ask, O God, that you continue to draw him to you, to let him trust you, Lord. Continue to cause him to trust you. Oh, God, cause him to trust you, depend on you, rely on you, in the mighty name of Jesus, that he know that you are the one, oh, God, that make a difference in his life. And, Father, we pray, God, that you will release an anointing in Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart, in their ministry on tomorrow, that it will make a difference in the people's life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we leave this line, but not your presence, we ask, O God, that you continue to watch over us, that you continue to keep us safe and secure. Lord, let our lamps shine, that we'll make a difference, O God. We want to make a difference in the people's lives that you have connected us with, Lord. We just don't want to be talking, but we want to make a difference, Lord, for the kingdom, O God. And Father, as you do this, we will praise you, and we will glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank God for you all. Have a blessed day and a safe day. We are looking forward to hearing the reports that the kingdom is being established because of what God has allowed you to share. That's what we are looking forward for. God bless you all. And as always, if the Lord say the same and we are still on this side of the grave, we are going to be here on Monday doing what thus says the Lord. We can't do no more. Pray that we do no less. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you all. I love you all so much. You don't know how much I love you all to come on here and visit with us each time you get. Every time you get a chance, you come and visit with us. So until we meet again, safe travels. Have a blessed weekend. And may the Lord use you all, use each and every one of us in a mighty way to glorify his name. Okay? God bless. Bye-bye.